This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. This is episode 18, and we are taking a journey through change. And our season has been named Changing the Person in the Mirror. And this episode, we're going to be talking about clarity and how that relates to change. How are you doing today?
Hello again. I am good. I'm looking forward to 2021. I am looking forward to be very clear on the things and the direction in which I want to go into for my personal life and professional life. Clarity is very necessary in this season.
Let me ask you a question. When you approach a new year, do you do any type of resolutions, goals? Do you have a word? How do you approach a new year? Just curious.
Well, I approach it usually in several ways, but I think reflecting, 2020 again for me was a learning year. 2021 will be an applying year. And so I am the kind of person that likes to settle in and look. I have a book I was sharing with you, a binder. It's like a journal that over the years I've put significant, you know, very important items inside this binder. And it has been with me since I started this journey of change. And I go every year and I get it out and I look through it to see how far I've come. And the goals that I had, or the inspiration that I had, or the visions that I had, or the things. Because I believe that you write it down, make it plain, so other people can read it and run with it. And so if you share it with other people, then it holds you accountable to the outcome. And so over the last 5 years, though, I did a 28-day fast. And what that means is forever applying spiritual truths. For me, it's called fast. And I invite different people into that arena with me. And what I do is the first 21 days is the Daniel fast. And if you read that scripture in Daniel 10, he was praying for something. It was opposition in his life. And he was praying and believing God for the outcome. And the archangel Michael, Gabriel was the messenger, and archangel Michael was the one who fight the atmosphere, and he was waiting. So he decided to fast and pray to get the answer from God. And what he did was he just turned his plate down from any delicacies. He didn't eat or drink anything that would not eat meat, and he would not eat bread, and he would not drink wine. And back in the days in the Old Testament, that was a lot of what they did. So he did not eat any of those things or drink any of those things for 21 days. And so for the last 5 years, I have actually did that fast. I'll start on the 11th of January of 2021. And I have invited other women into the journey with me. And everyone gets to choose what they believe that they need to do on their own journey. For me, I usually give up a lot of different things, and I don't participate in certain things. I don't sometimes watch TV. I don't eat certain foods. I may just go on a from 6 in the morning to sun up to sundown, won't eat at all. And I have 1 hour to eat before 7 o'clock in the evening, and I only can eat fruits and vegetables and drink water. And so I do that. I look at the binder. I do that. And that helps me to bring clarity in my life. And I get usually I'm asking God for direction and clarity for the year. And what is it that he is asking of me? What is it that I need to let go of? And the last 7 days, which solidifies, psychologically, they say it takes 21 days to build a habit. The last 7 days, I use it to solidify the 21 days. In other words, whatever was revealed, I take that last 7 days, so it goes into 28 days, and I really just ponder on what I learned those 21 days through journaling, praying, writing, sharing, writing it down, making it plain. Last year, My word was press, P-R-E-S-S. Now, did I know that 2020 was going to turn out to be the way it was? No, but we had to press through 2020.
Yes, we did.
Things were not the way that we anticipated them to be. So I really knew as life was happening, March the 15th, 2020 is when it all hit. And we began to, government began to shut down cities and states and, you know, things began to transition so quickly. And I knew that the word press kept coming to me, like, you're going to have to press through this. This is not getting ready to be an easy season. And I look up now, you know, and we're in 2021. So, yeah, I do different things to start the new year off. Everybody has their own way of doing it. This year, I want to invite people and I want them to do a every week Zoom call and see what they're getting and how we can encourage each other. And I just believe that that is my assignment for this year, to invite even other women into it in a bigger way.
So explain a little bit about clarity as it relates to change, just kind of jumping into this episode's subject. We've talked a lot about like accountability. We've talked about execution, structure, clarity comes in after all of that. So explain that a little bit.
Why do I believe clarity comes in after all of that? Or yeah. What is,
well,
clarity? Well, I think that clarity is everything that I do, or everything that we wrote, the topic, what I chose, I believe that all of it had an alignment. And I believe that clarity for me, that I define clarity as space, meaning that I create a space for me to be able to define meaning. So clarity means defining meaning. Where am I going? What am I going to talk about? How am I going to communicate, even if it's an emotion? They talk about emotions, and there is the basic six emotions. Do you know what they are?
I don't, actually.
Okay, there's the six basic emotions that they talk about, which is happiness, sadness, there is fear, anger, surprise, and disgust. Those are the basics. Everything else comes out of that. Then you have the more complex. But you got to be clear, right? You got to have clarity. What am I feeling? What am I really feeling? So I remember last week you talked about something, you didn't share it in detail, but you shared that you knew that the feeling was embarrassment. And then you had to define the meaning of what that embarrassment was. And I believe that when you deal with your emotions, you have to be clear on them. And you have to clarify them. And you have to define them so you can speak to them, or you can share with them, or share with other people. But you must first share with yourself. You must be honest. You must define. I said this in, you know, when I was in prison, that the word that came to my life was, you will never have definition and meaning till you come back to the source. What it was saying is that you will never be able to define your direction and where you're going until you're clear. Until clarity comes, the source will give you that. And I know for me, the source was my relationship with Christ and everything he had already died to give me. So that's what I define clarity as.
So as it relates to the emotions, are you saying, as you define the main six there, just being able to, in a very honest way, what you're feeling, even if it feels weak to admit that, like in my case, that I was feeling embarrassed, or another emotion that I had was that I was feeling jealous. And that to me felt like weakness, to be vulnerable and share all that. But
that's the more complex, because if you look at jealousy, jealousy comes out of fear. Fear is the basic emotion. Jealousy is a complex emotion. It's a subtitle emotion that comes from fear, because we only get jealous when we're fearful that something is not going to come out the way we desire. So we become jealous if somebody's doing something that I want and it's not going to happen for me.
Oh, that totally sounded like me, that's for sure.
And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as you can identify it and be clear and bring clarity to it, so you don't react to it. And so then you won't project to other people. And then you won't create other people to be responsible for what you desire, the outcome you desire. You have to take self-responsibility to say, I am feeling jealous. I'm really feeling fearful. The fear is coming from, I'm not sure I'm going to get what I want. And I am not feeling very comfortable about that.
Yeah.
And it takes courage to say that to somebody, because we like to project to people that we are all okay. That I am okay. That I am strong. I'm invincible. Yeah, most of the time we are and can be. But is that coming from thriving or surviving? You got to be clear on that. Where is that coming from?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because it could be coming from just surviving, and that is not necessarily a good place, but it's where you've probably lived if you've had trauma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you have to really bring clarity. Clarity for me, like I said, and clarity only is creating space for you to be, to find the definition and the meaning of why you feel the way you feel, what you're doing, why you're doing it, where you're going, how you're getting there. And then I think clarity brings, it's a space for you to be transparent. To bring transparency, which is being open and authentic, which a lot of us don't practice that because we're too busy being somebody we're not. So a lot of us don't really, it's because you got to be intentional with that. And a lot of us are moving so hard, and even through our own personality types, we will tend to become and be driven by them instead of us navigating our personality. I've heard people say, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. That's the way you're choosing to be. And you're using that as an excuse not to do something different. So you don't want to bring clarity to that. You like being who you are. And okay, so now I know what to expect from you. If a person tells you who they are, believe them. Because until they change who they want to be to themselves, they're going to always be that to you. I tell people all the time, I watch people on how they treat themselves, and I know then how they're going to treat me.
So what would you say is an enemy to clarity?
I think that an enemy to clarity is confusion and chaos. I think that, you know, and a lot of times we create it. We create the chaos because a lot of us don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror. So we create the chaos and the conflict and the things, we become addicted to that. It becomes a way of life. Chaos, it's almost like you'll say, I've seen people say, I just feel like something is about to happen, or I just feel like, you know, this ain't normal. Okay, what is normal anyway besides on a washer and dryer cycle? What is normal?
Right.
I don't know, you know, but I think an enemy to clarity is confusion and chaos and lack of direction. Those are all enemies to clarity. And so I feel like that you have to have precision with clarity. You got to be precise. You got to be able to speak exactly what it is you desire and speak it clearly. Raise your voice. But you, and until you know precisely and accurately what you want, you can't tell nobody else what you want or what you need. And that's why some people, when you have relationships with, they be all over the place. Because they're unclear. They don't have clarity. They don't have space. They don't have soundness of mind. And so you have to be patient with them.
So it sounds to me like that you have to be clear about what the source of the chaos and the confusion is, just like finding the source of the clarity.
Exactly.
And that can be kind of tough to unravel all of that.
I used to be a person never talked about how I felt. Emotions were not something I was transparent about. I did more telling people what I thought. Because if you look at my person, I'm a thinker. You know what I mean? So I'm always thinking in my head and strategizing inside me. I have great memory by the grace of God. It's a gift. And it's a curse. It's both. And yet I hardly ever said to someone, you know, this is how I feel. I usually say, no, this is what I think. You know, I think like this. And then, you know, and so that can be very defensive. People don't care about, you know, some people need to know how you feel, not how you think. And so this is what I believe. You have a right to your feelings, but they don't always have to be the truth.
Right. They don't have moral value.
They don't have, right. That, you know, emotions are what you want to get into more. And people think feelings are emotions. Do you believe feelings and emotions are the same? Are they interchangeable?
I don't think that they're necessarily the same, but they're very close.
Give me your definition of what you think a feeling is.
An emotion is like, it's that overwhelming, like, joy. It's like anger. It's passion. It's, you know, whatever that passion might relate to. Whereas a feeling can be something that you feel like externally comes in. Might cause you to react in ways that aren't necessarily healthy.
Exactly.
And I think can that change.
Feelings are reactive. Yeah. Emotions are responsive.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a better
and
way.
So, you know, a feeling is you believe that it's so true that you react to it.
Yeah.
In the moment that you're in. Emotions are the ability to respond, to look at them, lay them on the table, lay them out before you, ponder on them, sit with it, sit with yourself, become quiet, closing your eyes, learning to breathe, learning to respond so you can create space for clarity.
Yeah, that's good.
And so once I learned that, that even feelings are can be thoughts, not necessarily emotions, usually come from the heart. Feelings come from the head for me. I don't know for other people. This is just LaQuita's story, so hey, judge it if you want. I've learned that I can feel in my head, but emotions come from my heart. And what is the heart? It's something deeper than me. It's not what I'm thinking. It's what is inside, the response inside of me that's leading me into a place that I may not would be willing to go into on my own.
A big thing for me when I went through counseling a few years ago was related to how I felt about certain situations. And realizing I was entitled to feel like I felt, because for me, both emotions and feelings were something, like I'm super emotional. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I'm really in touch with my emotions. So for me, I grew up with someone influential in my life who would constantly tell me that emotions were bad. You had to be very stoic to be strong. And so I had a very negative opinion of myself because I knew I was emotional, had feelings about things that I didn't really feel like I was entitled to. And so my big breakthrough in my counseling was just realizing I was entitled to my own feelings. And that was awesome because then I was able to then look at it in an honest way and say, yeah, I was really angry that that happened and this is how I felt about it. And that was okay.
So, I was disappointed or I was sad. Or right. I was really disgusted in the way that they treated me.
Right, right.
I was really, I did not trust that moment. Or that moment surprised me. Those are emotions as well.
Yeah.
You know, or, oh my God, that brought me such joy. Or I'm anticipating. Anticipation is emotion, where I'm anticipating. Sometimes if we're not careful, anticipation can go into anxiety. That's a feeling, but anticipation is a response. To me, anxiety sometimes can be an overwhelming, pushing you to the brink of something that then reacts, makes you react, and not you pulling yourself back to say, okay, I'm just anticipating this. This is not as bad as it could be. I'm not really sure what that's going to look like. And then anticipation, it can be that, or it can also be, I'm anticipating going on this trip. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, how many things I'm going to do. Oh, so it's like, it's not either good or bad. It just can be and in both. So you just have to decide how that looks for you. So I just also believe that clarity brings on sharpness. Help you to concentrate. You got to be able to concentrate when you are dealing with clarity. You know, it brings on you to be focused, but concentration is different than focus. That means that's the center. I'm concentrating. That's the center of my attention. And that's why I say to people, breathe. Close your eyes and breathe. Because listening to your breath can help you to concentrate on what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what is the space you want to create. So I think that you have to be mindful, and focus is more about vision to me. What do you see, and why do you see it? And where is it taking you? And why do you feel like you need to go into that direction? And it's not just about visual, physical eyesight. It's about that third eye, that third place in your life that says, I need to go into this direction. This is what I'm seeing. When I started this program, I saw it already completed. I didn't see it in pieces. I saw it completed. Where I'm sitting at now, 25 years ago, I saw it where I am. Did I see the how-to to get there? No. But I did see many houses, many women, many this, many that. I saw it all. I saw the names. I saw all of them. And I've been able to name every house that we have as a transformational discipleship treatment program. I've named them because they were already given to me when I saw them in my third eye.
When you created that list of things that you were believing God for, was that something that you saw in the spirit where you said, I want to have this kind of budget, I want to have this kind of house, I want to have this kind of vehicle, and all those things that came to pass?
I know, because it was vision.
It was amazing.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm 25 years later in it, and it all came. And that's why a lot of people that do motivation speaking and do different things, and even pastors, and I'm a pastor, but a lot of, you know, it's about, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you must be willing to speak with life to what you desire. You can also speak death to it by what you say.
Yeah.
And so if you speak death to what you're not clear about, you know, you, the one reason it's not coming might be you, the man in the mirror, the person in the mirror. Look at the person in the mirror, the changes you want. How are you speaking to what it is you desire? And so I just think that, you know, it gives you clarity, gives you direction. It gives you purpose. It gives you the reason why you're doing what you're doing. It also gives you responsibility, the ability to respond. That's what responsibility is. It's your ability to respond. And so it's all about taking responsibility. You are responsible for how you respond, and you are responsible for your ability. So it is your ability to respond and not react. I think clarity helps us have cohesiveness, unity, understanding that I'm different from you, Jennifer. You're different from me, and yet we can still be cohesive. We can still go into the same direction. We can still do some of the same things as being one with self and others.
That's good.
I think clarity helps us have the ability to move forward and not get stuck. I think that it just helps us all do these things, and it helps us to be understand our emotions, our thought patterns, our behaviors. I think it just creates space for us to become the best version of ourselves.
Did you have an aha moment with regard to clarity in your own life that was like, oh, yeah, that's...
I have them all the time. Like, I mean, like I said, I'm going to talk about recovering myself. You know what I mean? Defining what recovery is, or redefining recovery. And, you know, recovering my own life, looking at my own life and having those aha moments of clarity, like, that's what that meant.
Yeah.
You know, we had a 60th birthday surprise party you guys gave me last year in COVID. Was as an emotion is surprise. I was totally taken back. But it was such joy to look around that room and see the impact I had and the people who loved me. When I was a child, I didn't have birthday parties. So I wasn't celebrated that way. And it could have been part of my own behavior and choices, or it could have been just the fact that the mother who raised me was not celebrated herself. So I've had now, and since I've been 60, I've had 4 birthday parties. The first one was a surprise that I had, and I was 40. The last one I had, I was 60, and I had 2 in between. And so my point is that, yeah, you know, that surprise was joy. And yet it helped me to have aha moments that even the things that I thought that I never would have, God brought it to me. They were full circle moments. They were aha, like, yeah. And there's nothing like someone loving you enough to take your breath away. like they said, it's not the breaths you take, it's the times and the moments that takes your breath away.
Yeah. We serve such a good God.
We do.
He's such a good daddy.
He is. You know, in closing, I want to share something where we, you know, I did something. I love this. I read this every year for myself. And a lot of people, I'm going to talk about clarity with this when I do it. It's called Our Deepest Fear. And it says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be that? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. And most of the people who hear that thinks that Nelson Mandela wrote it, but he didn't. Marianne Williamson wrote it in the book she wrote. Nelson Mandela made it famous in his inauguration speech. So I'm just saying, to bring clarity, so when I ask people who wrote that poem, a lot of people will say to me, Nelson Mandela, because Nelson Mandela is the person who they heard the make it famous. But it was Marianne Williamson that made it. She ran for president the last election. She was one of the candidates. She made it famous. You know what I mean? I mean, she wrote it, but Nelson Mandela, I'm sorry, made it famous. So my point is that sometimes you have to be willing to know that in creating clarity, one must know where the information comes from. And then who created it and how it needs to be used and how can you communicate. Because that is creating space for clarity. So my question would become, what is your deepest fear? When you look in the mirror, why are you shrinking back? Why are you not being the most brilliant, smartest person that you were created to be? And you disservice the world for not being that.
For playing small.
Exactly. Or staying still. And not moving forward.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, LaCreta. This has been a really great conversation about clarity.
Thank you.
For sure.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to LaCreta's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by LaCreta Bowman.